I suspect a lot of people have asked the same question when they've come out of the theater after having seen the new movie called 12 Years a Slave. Who was the incredible actress who played Patsy? It's understandable that they don't know her name because this role marks the feature film debut of a Kenyan actress named Lupita Nyong'o. The other names attached to the film are quite familiar, though. Michael Fassbender, Chiwetel Ejiofor are in the starring roles, and then there are a lot of other Hollywood heavyweights, Brad Pitt, Paul Giamatti, Alfre Woodard, Sarah Paulson, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Paul Dano. And the film is directed by Steve McQueen. It opened last month, and it's at theaters all around town. Lupita Nyong'o is already being touted as a leading nominee for Supporting Actress Oscar. It is with great pleasure that I welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Now, Patsy, who's the enslaved mistress of Edwin Epps, the master of the cotton plantation, is not only his most industrious worker, but because she's also the object of his sexual fascination, she's raped, she's whipped, she's beaten. Isn't that a pretty demanding role for someone who's making her film debut?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. Patsy was a lofty character to take on, and by far the most challenging and rewarding role I've played to date.
And then, to make it tougher, wasn't the film shot in Louisiana in 100-degree plus temperatures?
Yes, but then again, that was the truth of where these atrocities took place. So that was actually quite useful.
So when people are perspiring, they're really perspiring. You're not just spraying them with water.
Absolutely not.
You'd already directed a film of your own. Do you think that because you came to this role a little older and with more life experience than most actors would have for their first major role, that it made it easier for you?
Perhaps. I mean, I think my training at Yale, I went to the Yale School of Drama. I think that was key. I don't think I could have done it without that, because at Yale I learned to stretch myself and to avail myself to extreme emotional conditions.
Yale has a very famous acting school. It's hard to get into.
Yes, it is.
Is Michael Fassbender as obsessive and mean as Epps, the character he plays?
No, absolutely not. Michael is actually a very bright, warm, fun person to be around.
So it must be weird to then suddenly go into these other roles.
Well, it's not weird because that's what we do as actors, you know? We take on circumstances that are far from our own.
Is it fair to say that you have a somewhat odd history? You were born in Mexico, which I assume accounts for your first name.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What were your parents doing there? Your father is a professor of political science and now a member of the Kenyan parliament.
Yes, my father was in political exile at the time that I was born. So I was born in the last year of 3 years that he was there.
So he was a dissident during the time of Daniel Arap Moi?
A dissident?
Well, he was an opponent to that government.
Yes, you could say that, yes.
And that also led to him being thrown into prison.
Yes, he was detained a few times. Yep, that is true.
How old were you when he would disappear?
I mean, it happened in my childhood, you know.
Now, Kenya is in East Africa, so wasn't it relatively unaffected by the slave trade?
No, we had a slave trade, but it just didn't come in this direction.
It didn't come to the New World.
No.
Is the history of the slave trade in the New World and to the U.S., the Caribbean, and South America taught in Kenyan schools?
Yes, I remember learning something about it, but I don't remember it in any great detail. It was just part of world history. So what I learned from other experiences, like watching Roots, and also this film has been a major, major educator for me.
The slave trade in East Africa would have gone north into some of the Arab countries?
Or? Yes.
So you did a lot of research for this, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Did you read Solomon Northup's memoir that the film is based on?
Yes, I read it many times, and it gave a lot of indication as to who Patsy was. Patsy left a real indelible mark on Solomon Northup, so he wrote specifically about her.
Mm-hmm. So you actually... she's based on a real person.
Oh, most definitely. She is a real person. Everything that happens to Patsy in the film is accounted for in the book.
I don't want to give away too many of the things that happen because some of them are rather shocking when they occur, mm-hmm. and spoilers are always a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we can say that it's a rough. Well, slavery was tough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Patsy gets it worse than some,
mm-hmm.
partly because she's attractive.
Yeah, and she has this, in the book, Solomon describes her as having an air of loftiness that neither labor nor lash could rid her of. So there was something very intriguing about her, that she had so much light despite the darkness around her.
And they felt they could beat it out of her.
Yeah, I mean, her master was in love with her and hated the fact that he was in love with her.
And his wife was jealous of that relationship.
Precisely.
You've pointed out that there are no recordings from that time period, so we don't really know what people in the 1800s actually sounded like. So how did you come up with what sounds like it must be a very authentic voice for Patsy?
Yeah, well, I worked closely with Michael Buster, who was the dialect coach on the movie, and we had a sample from a place called G's Bend in Alabama, and we worked off of that and found something that we felt was what Patsy would sound like.
And did you even learn the skill of making corn husk dolls that Patsy might have had?
Yes. I had this idea because Patsy picks 500 pounds of cotton a day. So she has very nimble fingers, and I thought that perhaps she could have lent them to something artistic. And I knew that they grew corn on the plantation, and so it occurred to me that perhaps she would make corn husk dolls for the children on the plantation. And so I learned how to make them.
Now, she picked 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
The other people, at least in the film, can barely make 200 pounds,
right.
Pick 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awful lot of speed.
Yes, it is.
Speed.
Yeah.
My guest is Lupita Nyong'o. She plays Patsy in the new film, 12 Years a Slave, that's currently in theaters all around the area. Steve McQueen says that he found you after they had auditioned around 1,000 women.
Yeah, I didn't know about the 1,000. So I went in ignorant of that fact. And I'm glad because I think that would have been crippling to know.
And you hadn't yet graduated from the Yale School of Drama. You were still 3 weeks short of graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you even hear about the part? How did you come to audition for it?
My manager, Dee Dee Ray, received the script for another client of hers, Garrett Dillahunt, who plays Armsby in the movie. And she saw the role of Patsy and thought I'd be good for it. So she had me go on tape in New York, and then I auditioned for Francine Mazur, the casting director in L.A., and then finally down in Louisiana with Steve.
Now, your accent is almost American.
Yeah.
You came here when you were, 20 years old first to go to school?
Yeah, I was 19.
Hampshire College in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a typical educational route for a daughter of the Kenyan elite?
Hampshire College? No. No, absolutely not. when it comes to my accent is like a paella of all my experiences, for sure.
Is this the way you normally talk, or do you... Charlize Theron, who had a strong South African accent, decided to only speak with an American accent because she lives here and that's where she gets all of her work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not speaking an American accent now. It's just a conglomeration of all my experiences. But I do code shift. I can do an American accent. I can do a Kenyan accent, you know, code shifting.
You got your first job in film during a summer break in Nairobi when you were still going to Hampshire College. How did you come to work as a production runner on the set of The Constant Gardener?
I'd actually just landed in Nairobi for the summer holidays, and they were shooting in my neighborhood, and I made it my mission to get on that set. And it just so happened that evening I had dinner with a friend of mine who had a supporting role in the film. So he introduced me to the AD, and I was put on probation and then hired for the duration of the shoot.
Does working on the other side of the camera help you as an actress?
I think it does, because it makes you realize that as an actor, it may seem like it's all about you, but it's really not all about you at all. And that was something I'm glad I have come to personally appreciate, what everyone else brings to a film.
When you told Ralph Fiennes that you wanted to be an actor, What kind of advice did he give you?
Well, he took in a deep breath and said, Lupita, only act if you feel you can't live without it. If there's anything else you want to do, do that instead.
That didn't discourage you?
It did for a while. I mean, it wasn't the advice I wanted to hear. It was, you know, it was hard advice to hear. But so it took me a few years before I finally got to the point where I admitted to myself that acting was something I would truly regret not trying to pursue.
What about directing? You directed a film called In My Genes. And I was wondering how you even came to make a film about a Kenyan woman with albinism.
Yeah. Again, I had gone home to work on my final thesis project while I was at Hampshire. And my mother had just been to the first Albinism Society of Kenya meeting.
This is a big problem in Africa. Albinos are persecuted, aren't they?
Yes, in some parts. In some parts, they are considered deities. So, you know, it depends on where you are and what the beliefs are of that place. But I learned of the misconceptions to do with the condition. And I had a friend who lived right across the street from me who was a person with albinism. And I was really embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't know anything about what she was going through. So I made it my mission to make my thesis project about the experience of people with albinism.
And although it was a thesis project, it opened the New York African Film Festival in 2010, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, it was 2009, I believe. But
can't trust the internet.
yeah, but anyway, yes, and that was a major honor. And it, actually, the same theater that 12 Years a Slave premiered in. So that was of sentimental significance to me.
Do you want to do more directing?
I'm interested in directing documentary and producing, creative producing narrative.
Well, you seem to want to do a lot of different things. I hear you also started a book club.
Oh, dear God. Yes, I did, because I feel reading is really important to me. I don't enjoy it as much as I wish I did. And so I thought I would start a book club to ensure that I read.
Well, things like Solomon Northup's book on his experiences as a slave.
Yes.
Most actors wind up just reading scripts. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, but we've had a fair number of actors who've come here also with novels, because the whole idea of getting into a character often leads to creating your own characters.
Yes, that's true. And books are a great place to find material.
So now you live in Brooklyn?
Yes, I do.
Could you make a living, a career, as an actor in Kenya?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, that was one of the reasons that I, for so long, did not want to admit that I wanted to be an actor, because I didn't know anyone who was making a living just out of being an actor in Kenya.
Well, you had appeared on a TV drama, hadn't you?
Well, that was right before I left. I came to Yale. It was actually 2 weeks before I joined Yale that happened. And yes, but I know many actors, but they do lots of other things as well. Kenya has a very fledgling, it's a fledgling film industry, and that I'm proud of, and I look forward to seeing what comes out of Kenya.
Well, more films are being made in West Africa, Nigeria and Senegal, but you would be just as foreign if you went there as if you went to Bolivia to make movies, I suspect.
I don't know. I haven't been to West Africa yet. I'll let you know when I do get there.
The Huffington Post described your performance as one of the greatest Hollywood acting debuts of all time. Have people been throwing new roles at you?
I don't know about throwing new roles.
Your phone ring a lot?
Well, luckily not necessarily my phone. No, it's an exciting time. I'm really happy to have this time to promote 12 Years a Slave, because it deserves my full attention, and I have faith that something will come up in the future. And yes, definitely talking to producers and directors and looking for the next best thing.
Well, you are in another film that's coming up soon called Nonstop.
Yes.
A very different kind of role than
yes,
Patsy.
Yes, indeed.
When will that be released?
That comes out February 28th, I believe, 2014.
Meanwhile, this film, you say you feel is a very important film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that in talking to people, have you found that Americans are somewhat unaware of our own history in this regard?
I mean, my experience working on 12 Years a Slave was learning that I didn't know that I didn't know these things about slavery. And I'm sure many people feel that way, American and otherwise. It's a history that I think we many of us just take for granted. You know, we don't address it full on. We've never really been asked to. And so this is an opportunity for us to take what's under the carpet and face it.
But perhaps it took a British-born director who has a German-born star and a Kenyan-born star to tell the story to Americans.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, this story of slavery is universal, and everyone came from everywhere to be in America. So,
Lupita Nyong'o, one of the stars of 12 Years a Slave, in theaters all over the area. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
And congratulations, and good luck with the Oscars.
Thank you.